Can you believe 2018 is almost gone? It just seemed like it was a couple days ago that we just started 2018, and now 2019 is upon us. If anyone has a secret of slowing down time, let me know, but it keeps going. And some of you looking back just at this year, you may be thinking about maybe some of the difficult things that you've had to endure, and because there are trials, there are things that we go through. But there's also victories, isn't there? There's the accomplishments that happen, the incredible things, the stories of faith that have happened in 2018. And I also hope that God has been blessing you through the theme of this year for us here at Venice, which is extraordinary faith for 2018. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and we're going to continue that to about around January, February at the society meeting so we could finish the whole book. But since we have a few people gone, some in Baja, some in Mississippi, and other places, that we're going to be looking at our theme of extraordinary faith today, summing it all up. And to do so, the Lord put on my heart a very familiar passage, but I know the Holy Spirit has something rich for you to learn today. Amen? And so we'll be looking at Matthew 14, 22 to 36. That's where we're going to start. And this is the story that many of you know, where the disciples are in the boat and Jesus is walking on the water and so does Peter. But we're going to look at it in a different way. I know God has something for you. So let's read. We're going to be looking at this in different chunks here and be looking at each part at a time. So join me in verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew. It says this: immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go out ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So a few things we learned right from the beginning. For one, there was a plan. It says Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Now, I kind of looked at that and I said, wait a minute, that's kind of strong there. He made them do it. So I looked up the Greek and what that meant. And it's true. The word is to compel. He said, you guys are getting in that boat and you're going to that through that storm. That was Jesus' plan. Well, that's interesting. Second, we see that not only was there a plan, but Jesus wanted to be alone to pray. We know that this was his model for ministry, also model for us, that many times he'd wake up early in the morning to pray. Sometimes he'd stay up all night to pray. Luke 5, 16, 15 to 16 says, in the midst of all this ministry that he was doing, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So maybe there's a reason why he was praying here. He could be praying for the disciples, could be praying for his mission because they went from one side of the lake to the other. We're not sure yet. But there was a plan, there was prayer, and a problem. Problems emerge, don't they? The disciples are now caught in a storm. Although many of them were seasoned fishermen, they still wouldn't want to go through a storm. That's not something you want to sign up for as a fisherman. And like many of us, we don't sign up and say, ooh, give me problems, please. But real quickly, let's look at how problems emerge. Because I think many times, there's different ways that we can analyze this. Because sometimes we create our own problems. Yes, it's easy to point the finger at someone else. But if we really think about it, a lot of times, we create the own storms in our life. Could be because of sin, selfishness, maybe lack of awareness of how we should have addressed a problem. Let's just say there was something small, we didn't deal with it, and it kept growing and growing until it blew up. Maybe we were avoiding a conflict, and then boom, now it's worse than it was before. We have to take credit for those problems, don't we? I mean, we can say, oh God, why are you hurting? That's you. But I don't feel that this is what happened here in this situation with this storm, because it says that Jesus made them go in the boat. But sometimes God also allows trials to come our way that we know nothing about. Bless you. So this can happen when we're driving down on the freeway and someone just sideswipes us. We were going in our lane, going the speed limit, and somebody just happened to hit us. Now the next thing we know, we have to get our car in, and we're like, where did this happen? I didn't sign up for this trial. Sometimes trials just happen, regardless of whether we're a part of starting it or not. But I still don't think that's what happened here in this situation, because it says Jesus made the disciples go in the boat. And that's because sometimes the Lord allows trials to come our way or puts us in situations to teach us something. And this is the one we're like, yeah, I don't want to sign up for that one. Now, God will not tempt us into sin, for he cannot do that, but he will test us into maturity. He will not tempt us into sin, but will test us for maturity's sake. James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So yes, James was crazy. He liked pain because he said, consider it joy when you have lots of trials. But he knows the reason why. He knows that in order to grow, sometimes we have to go through the difficult times. Amen? That if we just don't step out of our comfort zone, it's like we aren't able to receive what God has for us. And that's true in areas you can look back at your life. Maybe when there was a hard time, there was times where you learned something. And something you wouldn't have learned any other way unless it was through that difficult time. So it seems like Jesus had the disciples go into this boat to go through the storm for a reason. Possibly a test. So what is Jesus trying to teach them? Well, the disciples passed this test. Do we have any naturally good test takers when you were in school in the room? Anybody? Well, everybody's too afraid to admit it. Somebody did a half wave. But, I mean, I would always be jealous of these people, probably because they're more intelligent than I was, but they would seem not to do the homework. They would say they hardly looked at anything, and they'd still manage to get a B+, A-. I'm like, how? They were just naturally good test takers. Well, in life, it doesn't work that way, does it? You have to prepare for the test that's coming. Because otherwise, we may fail the test. And if the reason why God gives us tests is because he has something greater for us to go up to, amen? That he wants us to pass the test to keep moving forward. And so we wouldn't want to keep having to repeat the same test over and over again, because he wants us to pass, so we never have to deal with that again. I mean, I wouldn't want to take the same test over and over again, would you? I mean, think about math. Ooh. But I meant life tests. We wouldn't want to do that. Sorry for you math majors out there. I'm just more English prone. But let's look further at what's going to happen here. Will the disciples pass this test? And what does that mean for us? In verse 25 to 27, it says this, that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walk on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now there's a couple other accounts of this story. One of them in John 6:19 records that the disciples were actually about 3 to 4 miles away from the land. So this wasn't just Jesus on the shore and they got freaked out. This was, they were way out in the ocean. They were already in the midst of this turbulent storm, probably for hours, wondering if they're going to live. And now they see a man coming towards them walking on water. How many of you would be scared? Okay, you're all lying. Because everyone would be scared in here. That's not a measure of faith of not raising your hand. I know you'd be scared. But we see here that, and we know, we can talk about Jesus and his divinity, how he has control over nature, and he was able to do that. Hence the reason why he was able to do miracles. We know that. And we also see before that this is the second time that he's dealt with the disciples in a boat situation. Before that, in Matthew 8, they had experienced a storm while they were all in the boat, including Jesus. And many of you know this story as well. A storm happened, and what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. He was sleeping. Talk about the Prince of Peace. Nothing affected him. And he just got up and rebuked the wind and, you know, took a good nap again. No, I think he was done by that point. But that seemed like that was the first point. Then now there's here. So I think he's trying to tell them something. But an interesting point was brought up when I was looking at this passage that almost makes it ironic. Because, and that point is that we cannot be afraid of the solution if it's not what we expected it to be. Because here's the ironic thing. The one who could calm the wind, the one who could walk on the waves, the one who is the answer, the solution to this problem, they were afraid of. Yes, it's because they didn't know who he was. But that's what's ironic, is that he's the one that could fix the situation. And I think that happens in our lives more often than we realize. That the one who can be the solution for us, if it's not the way we wanted, sometimes we're not sure how to react. And that can lead us to fear, to doubt, to depression, and so forth. So let me give you an example. Sometimes we are in a place where we need physical healing. Lord Jesus, please heal me. And sometimes it doesn't happen yet. The solution is, I want to be healed now, Jesus. I want to be healed now. That's my solution. But if that's not the solution that we want, what is the Holy Spirit teaching us now while we wait? Maybe it will come. But maybe he wants to teach us something. Or perhaps because 2019 is coming up, you're a New Year's resolution person, and you're like, instead of this year of going to the gym and then stopping in February, I'm going to have a relationship goal. I'm going to be more intentional with my relationships. And so you ask God, what does this look like? And instead of focusing on the ones that you want to be more intentional with, the Lord puts somebody on your mind that you need to make amends with. To go back in the past. Maybe somebody that doesn't appreciate you like you should be appreciated. That's not the solution you want, but that's what God wants. Or maybe you want to be blessed. Lord, I want to be blessed. I want all of your blessings. But as someone close to you or even God himself revealed to you, maybe you have to first stop living a lifestyle of sin. You can't have the blessing in one hand and living in sin in the other. It won't work. That's not the solution that you want, but that's you have to go with the godly solution. Because God isn't only interested in our destination of where we're going, whether career, whether having a family, or even our eternal destination. But he's interested also in the journey that you're on. Because we're always in a state of process, aren't we? We either learn or grow, or we resist it. And we don't. And so we see here that Peter's about to come on the scene in verse 28 to 29. Peter says this, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come unto the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Peter's a neat guy, isn't he? He's just always full of fun and surprises. And what an incredible thing for Peter to do. Who would have thought, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't have thought, you know, a good thing to ask Jesus in this time, if that's him, I'm going to walk on water. It's just, that's how he thought. But usually with this story, Peter is seen in a negative light most of the time. They look at him like, well, there goes Peter again. The foot in the mouth guy. That's him. Look, now he's sinking. And some would say that he was wrong because he asked the Lord for a sign of like, if it's really you, then tell me to come unto the water. And we know in Deuteronomy 6:16, it says, do not put the Lord your God to test, because then that's a sin. We're asking God to go through our process to do something. Like Satan tried with Jesus in the desert, saying, jump off this building and the angels will catch you. And Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to test. But what's the difference between a sign, asking for a sign in a negative light, and a confirmation because you want to make sure this is God's will? Well, asking for a sign is usually unfavorable from God if it's already been promised or has been directed through his word. So, for example, if you're asking God to get that lucrative business contract you've been wanting to get, and you, God, just give me a sign that this is the one that you want me to do. But you know, in order to get that, you have to cheat or lie to get that deal. God's not going to give you a sign. The answer is obvious. It's a no. You have to cheat and lie to get it. It's in his word. So you see, signs are different than confirmation, but when God's will is not clear, it is not wrong to ask God to make his will clear towards us. He wants us to ask. And this can result in some time of confirmation. So since we just finished off the Christmas story, we see this happening in two different people. We have Zechariah in Luke 1:18, the father of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the angel came to Zechariah about what's going to happen and he's going to have the son, it's going to be John the Baptist, Zechariah asks, how can this be? And the angel said, because you doubted God, you can't speak for a while. Because I don't like what you said. So for 9 months, you're not going to speak. Whereas Mary said something similar, but she said, when she was told about Jesus, she said, how will this be since I am a virgin? They both ask questions. What's the difference? Well, Zechariah was asking out of state of doubt. Mary was simply asking out of a lack of understanding, needing clarity. And so, when God is calling us to move forward, we're not supposed to doubt what He's doing for us, but we can ask Him, Lord, what would you like for me to do this? How would you want me to do it? Because I'm ready to do it. It's willingness to take action on the part of what God's calling you. Because the other part of that is passivity, isn't it? That's what would happen with Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were like, okay, well, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, show us some miraculous sign that you are. What's the problem with that? It requires zero faith on the Pharisees' part. They're asking for Jesus to do a magic trick, and then they can, oh, you're the Son of God, that's great. Now let's go kill him. So, but Peter, what did he do? He's putting his faith into action by saying, Jesus, if this is really you, tell me to do what you're doing. Put me in the miraculous. Put me in the things that seem difficult. I'm willing to match it with action. It's not passive, it's action. Amen? And so we can ask Jesus, confirm this if this is your will, because I want to follow you. I'm willing to step out. And we see that Peter did. And in verse 30, we see what happens next. It says, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Or probably more probably, Lord, save me. And this is the other part where people see Peter as in a negative example. They see him as a failure. They're like, well, Peter's sinking. Thankfully, Jesus was there. He put his foot in his mouth again, so he had to match it with his words. But I agree. I disagree with that. And I actually applaud Peter because for taking those steps on the water. Even if he did sink. You know why? Because at least he got out of the boat. The other disciples, they didn't. Did you notice this whole time, we forgot they were even there? What did they say during this time? What did they do? Nothing. But Peter asked, regardless of his motives, he asked, and Jesus said, yes. He said, come. Because in Scripture, it says all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. That is why we utter our amen and to God for His glory. God has given us the green light to go as Christians. He says, there's so much for you to do, you just have to do it. But many times we're afraid, so the green light, it's there for us, but we're just parked like it's a red. And God wants us to keep moving forward with the things He's given us. He's a creative God. But many times we're like, well, God, I need if you give me the 10-year plan of how this is going to look, then I'll follow you. Make it in bullet points so then I can, you know, at least know a little bit. No. So much of it requires step-by-step obedience. We won't always have the big picture, but He's going to meet us because He's calling us to step out of the boat. Take a look. I mean, let's use a couple examples from Scripture. Think about Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This great guy. Done a lot for the kingdom. His calling? Go to the Gentiles. Preach the good news of Jesus. That's all he really knew. He knew his why, but his how was not defined. Here was his how. All right, I'm going to go to this city here. He probably went like this on a map. I'm going to go to this. No, I'm just kidding. It was probably more spiritual than that. But he said, I'm going to go to this city. I'm going to find out where the temple is. I'll go to the Jews. Then if I get kicked out, I'll go to the Gentiles. So I need to know where the temple is. I need to know where the prison is because I'll probably be at one of those two places. And that's what happened. Now I'll go to the next city. Now I'll go to the next city. God didn't reveal to him all the cities to go to beforehand. It all happened step by step. The same can be with us. We can't just be afraid of not knowing the whole picture, because many times that's revealed as we walk in step with God. Because then God would say, no, Paul, go that way. Or this is a better direction. Or let me encourage you here. We see that with Joshua. Talk about a calling. Moses is no more. Now, Joshua, you go into the promised land. If I was Joshua, I would say, Lord, give me that battle strategy to conquer all these countries. No. The Lord mainly said to him, be bold and courageous. Oh, don't forget, be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. I am with you. Oh, yeah, and study the word day and night. Be bold and courageous. It was mainly about his character, not his skills. It wasn't until he followed through with what the Lord given him that when he got to Jericho, he got a strategy. But we don't know all the strategies. It was go and do. And the same it is for us. That as we walk step by step, it's no accident it's called walking by faith, is it? Peter was taking each step and was walking on water. It was his faith in Jesus that held him up. Once he looked elsewhere, he began to sink. Did you see that? It says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. I just picture Jesus right there. And then once he looked at the winds hitting up the waves on each side, that's when the fear came. Because fear and faith cannot be in the same place. It's either one or the other. And so to walk in extraordinary faith, our eyes have to be fixed on Jesus. It's not multitasking by putting up a post. Oh, hey, Jesus, and then we're looking like this. No, it's not, I'll come to you only when I have problems and then I'll be fixed and I'm good. It's our eyes are only glazed on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, or the pioneer and finisher of our faith. Because I have news for you. It's guaranteed that you will have problems in life. That doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. We all have problems. But it depends on how we deal with them. And the Lord God has given us so much, including himself, to help deal with those problems. Amen? So think about the winds that can come into your life, the storm that rages. We can think of the winds of distraction. There's too many things to do in too little time. I can't focus on Jesus. It's because our eyes are fixed on everything else. Those are the winds of distraction. Maybe it's doubt. I'm not sure that God is going to be able to get me through this or answer my prayer. But we have to step out in faith, believing regardless of that doubt. Could be disinterest or distance. I'm just not interested in the things of God, or I'm not sure how this works. I feel like God is far away. Well, it says that if we seek him with all our heart, that we will find him. It's not 5% or 95%, it's 100%. And it sounds like to me, walking on water, because I haven't tried it yet. I'm sorry. I like to try things first. But it sounds like it's an either all or nothing type of thing. You're either going to stand or you're going to sink. The same it is with our relationship with God. It's all or nothing. And thankfully, Jesus was there for Peter as he began to sink. And we don't know. I would like to think he took a more than just a couple steps. I think the movies always just have him like do a couple and then he starts sinking. But who knows? Maybe Jesus was way further back there and he was good for a while. I don't know. But Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. He said, you have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Because if we do walk in extraordinary faith, Jesus will always be there to catch us. Amen? Because we're out there trying to do what he wants. He's pleased with that. Because I believe this, in fact, was a test. That's the reason why Jesus made them go in the boat and go through the storm. For Peter, it was to strengthen the faith, the little faith that he had. Because Peter always wanted to do incredible things for God, but he needed to learn how to walk with God. And although he sank, he didn't fail. You know why? He walked on water. Even if you took one step, you walked on water. And when was the last time we did that? Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God until he did the action. It was all by action. And he tried something from the Lord, and he now learned something more. So he had the time with the disciples in the boat in Matthew 8 where he was sleeping. Now he has this opportunity that Jesus is teaching them about faith and how to have extraordinary faith. So much so that in the book of Acts, Jesus ascended. It's now the disciples' turn with the Holy Spirit that Peter learns this so well that in Acts 15, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. That's incredible. That the presence of God was so thick around Peter because he understood how to walk in extraordinary faith that people were dying for the presence of God just to be near him so that God can heal him. Wow. So we have to give Peter the credit here. Because this was also a test for the disciples, wasn't it? If Peter had little faith, I don't think they had any. I know this because of the lack of information that's present. Maybe Peter was further along in his faith. I'm not sure. But when Jesus calmed the sea when he goes into the boat, he told them all the same phrase. He said, you have little faith, why are you afraid? In Matthew 8. And then here he says to Peter, you have little faith, why did you doubt? So he's trying to teach them about faith. In both instances, Jesus said this before he took the action, because then he will calm it. And he wanted them to also step out of the boat and walk with him. Because who will be commended for this action? Peter, for his action, even though he sank? Or the disciples, who just stayed in the boat? I think we know the answer to that. But in verse 32 to 36, the passage ends with, they climbed back into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Isn't it true that when Jesus comes through, he gets all the glory? Amen? The greater the obstacle, the bigger the miracle, the more difficult the problem, and Jesus comes through, we're just blown away. Just, yes, Lord, that's incredible. I could not have done that without you. And so we learn so much from this passage that Jesus had a plan, and it wasn't just a destination to get to the other side of the boat to heal those sick, but it was to teach the disciples something about faith because he's all about process. It was to teach him about trusting him through the tumultuous times, to have extraordinary faith defying all odds, even laws of nature. And so I believe God is challenging each and every one of you to get out of the boat. Maybe it's something that you can think of with New Year's coming up. And since we're all in different places in our faith with God, maybe stepping out of your personal boat of comfort might be different than the person next to you. But it probably requires being uncomfortable. Probably could require some sacrifice. Could require stepping out of your comfort zone. But isn't that the primary way we grow as individuals? Is when we're outside of what we think we know. When we try something new. Or something we haven't done in a while. That's when we grow. That's where God likes to meet us because it relies on faith. And so as we go into our prayer time, I want us to just ask the Lord God some of these questions for yourself. Not for anyone else, but just for yourself. And we could ask, you know, when was the last time we tried something new? Lord, when was the last time I did something, and it doesn't have to be something miraculous or something big, but maybe it's a step in the right direction. Maybe it's recognizing that I've been in a boat, and it's been really comfortable. Real comfortable. But you know, the waves hit the boat when you're in the boat, and the winds hit you when you're in there, just as when you're walking, don't they? So it's better to be near Jesus. Or maybe perhaps the Lord has put an idea to your mind for a while, but it's just kind of sat there. We haven't taken action yet. Maybe God's given you that idea. Maybe that's something for next year. Or maybe it's walking in a completely new area. It's just saying, Lord, I surrender. I'm tired of trying to do this my way. 2019, yes, I want that to be a new year for me. So let's close our eyes and let's pray as the Lord speaks to you with some of those questions. And we know, Lord, that you love each and every one of us. As it says that we walk by faith, not by sight, and that without faith it is impossible to please you. And you are calling us into greater places where we maybe haven't even thought of yet. Or perhaps you have been putting something on our mind and our heart and you want to challenge us to say, just trust me. Realize that you've been in this boat, in this place for too long. Maybe the first thing we could do is just take a step, even if we don't know the whole plan. And so before the new year, I want to just have a special prayer of blessing over you, over those that want to take that step of extraordinary faith. And this is between you and God, whatever it is that looks like for you. But I do know that once you take the first step, God is going to honor the next. Amen? And so, in line with this, I'm just going to ask that if you feel that God is wanting you to take that step out of the boat, that you would just stand where you're at right now. That you could stand, and I want to pray over those that are standing to give you a blessing to be able to take that step. So feel free right now to just have that time to stand, because I know the winds are going to come. I know that there are going to be winds of distraction. And so let's have this time to pray, because the Lord is wanting to do new things in our hearts. And to challenge us in ways that we've never thought before. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray for all those that are standing right now. And I pray for those that are thinking to stand. Because maybe some of them is stepping outside of the boat, is actually taking a step of standing right now. Because sometimes it's recognition. That's the first thing. And so, Lord, I pray over those that are standing. And I ask that right now, any fear that has been a part of them or that will come to them will be removed right now in the name of Jesus. Because faith casts out fear. Perfect love will cast out fear. And you want us to walk in faith. Fullness of faith, Lord. And so fear, you have no place here, especially as you speak to them, Lord, that you will motivate them by your love. And that they can say no to the fear and continue walking towards you. And so you can just picture that. Just picture Jesus standing there saying, come. Come. Take each step. Take each step with me. Even if you don't know the plan or how it's going to happen, he is saying, I am there with you. And I will guide you. And Lord, I just ask for protection over those that are standing here, that whether it's the winds of distraction, doubt, disinterest, distance, that those will not come near them in the name of Jesus. That their eyes will be fixed on you. That through this time, they will, even through the storm, because the storm continued to rage. The storm wasn't silenced before Peter walked, but the storm was raging. And we know sometimes we just need you through the storm, Lord. So I pray that through this, you will be clear. That we could see you in such a real, tangible way that we know without a shadow of a doubt, you're telling us to take the next step and the next, Lord. For you are good. And you're always wanting us to go from glory to glory, all for your glory, Lord. And we thank you for your love. And so if all the rest of you may stand, let's all stand together and give the Lord a hand for his goodness and for this 2018. Because God is going to be doing incredible things, isn't he, in 2019? Amen? And so what we're going to do is let's sing out Oceans one last time.